Cleaning Nation, it is time to have some fun, to soak up some wisdom, and give you everything you need to grow your cleaning company. Love the show? Be honest, is your life better as a member of Cleaning Nation? If you want to keep us cranking out a metric ton of cleaning awesomeness all for free, show your love on iTunes with a 5-star rating and good positive review. Of course, if you hate the show, turn off immediately, and you can feel free to send me an angry email or so. But if you're getting massive value, spread the love, share the show. We are successful because of you. Tell your friends, share us on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, tattoo it on your forehead, do what you got to do. Show the world you're a proud member of Cleaning Nation. Today, we are chatting with Michael Jackson from Office Pride. Michael and his team have been serving the Richmond, Virginia area with commercial cleaning for over 5 years. If you want to reach out to Mike and his team, you can get a hold of them at www.officepride.com/Richmond-0229. OfficePride.com/Richmond-0229. If that's a mouthful, feel free to check out the show notes. We'll have a link there. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mike. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, man. I was looking over the notes that Natalie gave me, our producer, before we started. You got an interesting story, man. Tell Cleaning Nation a little bit about your background, if you don't mind.
I'm a 22-year Navy vet. When I got out, I started working for a large mega church out here in Norfolk, Virginia, and did that for about 3.5 years. Decided that I wanted to go to school full time. And so, I'm about 45 years old, and I decided I wanted to go to school full time and to finish my degree. And so I just quit everything and started going to school full time as a student at Regent University. Where I got a major in business. Right after that time, a major transition in my life happened. I was in the process of getting divorced. I had 3 kids in college. Two were in the Richmond, Virginia area. So a year later, I decided to move up to Richmond. Was going to work for a big company up there and was working part-time, or actually working for a cleaning company down in Richmond. Down in Norfolk for a little bit. And the guy there kind of talked me into starting my own franchise in Richmond. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that will be a change in pace, but it'll be, you know, bring me close to my kids. And so I started working my business in Richmond area in 2011. I had my kids join me. They were my first employees. But it was a struggle at first. You know, I went through the training with the franchise, which was awesome. Got support from the Office Pride team, their management team, their training team, the leadership was awesome. But for me, the biggest problem that I had was cash flow. I didn't do a couple things right in the beginning with setting myself up financially. And I had to kind of pay for it through my Navy retirement pay, which was helpful, but every bit of money that came in went towards supporting the growth of the business, which I do not. I do not feel bad about it at all. I don't regret it because it brought me to this point. But I had to give up a lot the first year or 2 years. You know, I gave up my home. A lot of people don't know this, but I actually lived in my van for 6 months. I gave up my home. I gave up a car. I gave up a lot of different things just to make sure that this business took off. Because I feel like in the long run, it was going to be better for me to sacrifice a lot in the beginning in order to get to where I am now.
Man, I gotta tell you, most of the people I work with, I would kill to get that kind of commitment where you're like, hey, if that's what it takes, that's what I'm going to do. Kudos on you, man, for doing what it, you know, just saying, hey, if this, I'm going to do what I got to do to get done.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, yeah, I that van that I slept in for about 6 months, we finally got rid of it and got a new van, but I kind of miss it though.
So after all the sacrifice and all the kind of just sacrifice is the best word that you've committed to. Tell me about where you're at now, man. What's been the results so far?
Well, right now I have about 50 employees, over 75 clients. I have an assistant, so I don't have to answer phones much anymore. I have about 4 or 5 full-time employees that do a lot of the selling, the operations for me. We're billing, you know, average between 60 and 70,000 a month. So yeah, we're a lot better than where we were for sure. I mean, we still got a lot more to do. We have this audacious goal, this big, hairy, audacious goal of reaching 300,000 a month, employing over 300 people. And one of the reasons why I started this is not just so much for self-profiting, but also to provide opportunities for those who need to fill the gap in their financial needs. So, one of the goals that we set forth is to have 300 employees working for us simultaneously. Now, the crazy thing about that goal is when I first said it, I said it as though 300 individuals working for me simultaneously. But this, because this is such a transitional industry, I went back and looked at my personnel records, and we actually have hired over 350 people throughout the 5 years that I've had this business. So technically, we have reached that goal of hiring 300 people.
It's just the simultaneously is all that there's the only box left to check, right?
Yeah, we're going to check that box. We definitely want to check that box in the next 5 years. So.
Beautiful, man. Well, I love not just the story of where you came from, but where you're going. I love your goals. You said big, hairy, audacious goals. Are you a Vern Hardinge fan, or where did you get that term from?
The franchisor, founder, Todd Hopkins, when we go through our training, one of the things that he asks us to do is to set audacious goals.
Got it.
And that's what he labeled it, and he probably got it from that particular individual. But when I first heard it, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to set some big, hairy, audacious goals. It's going to be smart. We're going to set smart goals, but we're going to make sure that they're measurable, achievable, and we're going to, but at the same time, it's going to be something that's going to need more than just our strength. We need other people around us to help us to achieve it. So
that is awesome. Yeah, and I'll put a link to first time I think Vern Hardinge is the one that coined that term. I'm not sure if he got it from someone else, but Rockefeller Habits is where I first is the book that he wrote. I'll put that in the show notes page. But either way, that term, that BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, is an awesome concept for small business owners. All right, Mike, I am dying to serve you any way I can. What's going on in your world that I can help you with today?
Well, as I mentioned before, the financial aspect of any business, but particularly in the clean industry, our clients pay us, 30, 60, sometimes 90 days out. At the same time, we still have to pay our employees every 2 weeks, every 15 days, whatever is set up within the company. And, I think we've got, it took me a while, but we're at a place where I have a CFO, a chief financial officer, who's actually a lot smarter than me with dealing with the finances. And so we're at a good place. But at the beginning, it was just really, really tough. And I often go back and think about what I could have done better to set myself up and use it as a learning template for, a new franchisee or a new commercial cleaning business owner or even a new business owner. How can I help them do better at the beginning than what I did? Because even though I consider myself a lot better off, I think I could have even been better off if I started off better, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And one of the reasons I was glad that Mike brought that question up is cash flow is a big deal. And a lot of newer business owners and even some seasoned business owners make the mistake of not understanding the difference between profit and cash flow. So before we jump into the cash flow, let's just hit that. And you're probably a little more familiar with this, Mike, but I want to make sure everyone listening is on board. The number one, and you probably heard this before, but hadn't maybe thought it through all the way. The number one reason businesses go out of business, you would think, would be lack of profit, right? We're not making any money, so we got to shut the thing down. The reality is, it's not profit, it's cash flow. And people go, well, tomato, tomato, what's the difference? Profit, cash flow, same thing. Absolutely not the same. Profit means you charged X amount for your services and you made Y amount. And Y is, let's see, or you got to keep Y amount. So, right, if you've got, you billed $100,000 and you paid $50,000 in payroll and then you got $30,000 in overhead, that leaves you with a $20,000 profit. So you can be a profitable business in that you're charging more for your services than it costs you to provide them and there's profit left over, but have no cash. If, like Mike said, you are on a net 30, net 60, and you don't get paid in advance or at the time that you do your service, there's a lag between when you get your profit and or when you get paid and when you do the work. And although your customers can negotiate with you that they're not going to pay till a month afterwards, you cannot negotiate with your employees typically that you're going to pay them a month afterwards. So first and foremost, I want to be very clear that you can be profitable and have no cash. Not only can you be profitable and have no cash, you can be profitable and go out of business due to lack of cash because your cash flow is not set up properly. So just so for people out there going, no big deal, cash flow is just cash flow, it's not. And the larger you get, the bigger deal it is. When you're billing $5,000 a month, cash flow is not terrible or not, isn't really probably a big subject. But when you start billing $500,000 a month, all of a sudden cash flow becomes crucial. Any thoughts or feedback or questions on that before we continue, Mike?
I think you're heading in the right direction. I appreciate that.
Okay, cool. So first and foremost, I do not coach any of my people to get paid to take net 60 or 30 terms. I'm not familiar with, I think we've had a couple Office Pride franchisees on before. Is Office Pride the type of franchisee where they handle the billing and just pay you after they get paid, or do you handle your own billing?
No, they actually do the invoicing for us and receive it. So yeah, they do the invoicing and collection.
Okay, so that's going to handicap me in my coaching. For everyone not in Mike's situation where you do your own negotiation and handling of money, I always coach, and this is one of the things we go over in detail in the Accelerator program, but I always coach on you bill, do not tolerate the whole, you know, I'll get paid 30 or 60 days afterwards because that cash flow can actually crush you. And Mike's being kind of valiant going, oh, we worked through it. It was hard, but I'm guessing it was really hard, especially when you grow faster. Because the tricky thing with cash flow is when you have positive cash flow, i.e. you get paid before you do the work, the faster you grow, the better cash you have. When you have negative cash flow, i.e. you have to perform the work now and get paid later, that means you become a bank. And the faster you grow, the worse your cash flow gets. So you kind of get to this position of, man, I'm making less cash now when I'm growing really fast than I was making before when I was growing slowly. And at the rate that you're talking about growing, Mike, I guarantee you had cash flow problems because you're probably profitable the whole way through, but when you grow that fast, it just is a big cash suck when this loan effectively, which is called your accounts receivable, which is just a loan to your clients, when this loan on your book gets to be $50,000-$100,000 bucks. Am I picking up what you're laying down or am I off track?
No, you're pretty much on track. The only difference is I think with Office Pride, even though they do the collections for us, we are able to, and I learned this from, you know, after about 2 or 3 years, we are able to actually negotiate with the client to pay a little bit. So, you know, instead of doing a net 30, I got some clients on net 15. I got some clients, especially with one-time jobs, that pay within 3 or 4 days. So that actually helped a lot with our cash flow situation, you know, along with some cash infusion, being able to ask clients, especially larger ones, to pay 15 days instead of waiting 30 days or 45 days.
Yeah,
so that does help a lot.
Yeah, and that's huge. So I would always what I always coach, and again, on the Accelerator, we give you templates and exactly the words to say and how to do this. But the concept is I always coach that you charge just like rental income for if you've got real estate holdings, where I bill at the beginning of the month for that month. So December, the rent for December is due December 1st, not January 1st or God forbid February 1st. It's due December 1st. And many services like your cable bill, your pool service, a lot of services are like that. So it is a little harder to negotiate that up front. And again, I'm assuming this is not a franchise situation, and we'll get back to your franchise situation. But for everyone else, you can negotiate where you get paid for January's work at the beginning of January, and it's a small shift. And maybe you even lose 5% of your customers and another 5% complain. But that solves all of your cash flow problems forever for the rest of your business. So it's such an amazing foundation, such an amazing gift to give yourself. I always encourage that. The second way to go, now let's move to Mike's situation, which is a lot harder. Like I said, I'm totally hamstrung if you have limited negotiating power. And I'm glad that you told me you have some negotiating power. But if you have limited negotiating power, creativity is the next thing that you're going to want to do. And I love that you went to your customers and said, hey, can we do net 15 and can we do whatever? And the good thing is, if you think about it, most of the companies that you serve, it's not like their janitorial budget is 16% of their income, right? It's like 1 or 2, right? You're generally not, you know, even if it's a $5,000 a month account, that's a huge multimillion dollar organization. So that $5,000 a month doesn't mean anything to them. Oftentimes, they're just trained, especially if they've got a CFO in place, to say, hey, they know cash flow is important too. The larger the businesses get, the more they understand the value of cash flow. So their just standard operating procedure is we pay everyone net 30 or net 60. because we want to hang on to our cash as long as possible. Maybe our vendors or maybe our, the people that we work with, we have to pay, we have to produce the service for them, and we don't get paid till that 30 or next 60. So it is very typical in the industry. But oftentimes, if you just go to them and explain, hey, I'm a tiny company, we just don't have the funds to provide you that loan. And I get when you're working with larger vendors that they're a multi-million dollar company and you're a multi-million dollar company and you've got a $60,000 a month bill with them, that it makes sense to kind of hold that money for 30 days. But listen, our bill is $1,200 a month. And I know it doesn't mean that much to you, but for me, it's everything. And I can give you a 2% discount or 5% discount, or I can give you this upgraded service for free. But if you would pay in advance or, you know, at the beginning of the month, it would really help us. And if you just explain to them and get them out of that, like, oh yeah, we don't really have to hold on to your $1,500 a month because it doesn't mean that much to us, a lot of times they'll help you. And then if you want to go a step further, you can offer them some sort of a upgraded service for free. And if you want to go a step further than that, you can do some sort of a discount of the bills, $1,500 if you pay net 15, meaning 15 days after the bill is received, but you get a 2 or 3% discount if you pay in advance. And a lot of times you can switch a bunch over just by A, explaining to them, hey, this is really hurting my company. It's going to mean very little to you, but it's going to mean a lot to me. And if that's not enough, you can offer them some sort of incentive, either financial or upgraded service. But the big thing is you need to understand it's a big deal. Like, I like that Mike gets it. He's like, hey, cash flow is huge. It's, if A, I know that profit's very different than cash flow and I can be profitable but not have good cash flow. B, it's a problem that requires attention. And C, I like that Mike got creative and said, hey, even though I've got this Office Pride infrastructure that I have to work within to some degree, I can still go to my customers and negotiate something that's fair for both of us. So that's probably what I got. Any thoughts on that, Mike, before we hit the lightning round, or do you feel comfortable?
I appreciate the feedback. I mean, what you're saying is actually what I had to do over the last 2 or 3 years to make sure that I'm still in business. So
yeah. So again, Mike, it feels like A, a lot of stuff I coached to do, he can't do because of Office Pride. B, the stuff I would have coached him to do, Mike's like, yeah, I did that. So hopefully this will just be a gift to Cleaning Nation in terms of the people that are not quite sleeping in their vans, but on their way to that, is we can help get some creative thinking to work through that. That's one creative solution, but another creative solution is just to be transparent with your customers and say, hey, because a lot of us, and I did this too when I was a smaller business, we're kind of embarrassed and we're like, oh, we have to act like we're this big, important business. And I could never tell my customers that I need the money. And I found that it's exactly the opposite. The customers, what they don't want is you to say, hey, I can't show up today because we can't make payroll and I'm out of business. That they don't want. But if you're just transparent and say, hey, I'm a little business. We've got 20 employees and we only do $500,000 a month or a year. So your $4,000 bill every month is a big deal. So I just like that willingness to be transparent, and I think that'll go a long way. All right. Mike, let's have me take a break and we're going to hit the lightning round, give you the opportunity to share some of what you've learned with Cleaning Nation. I'm going to give you three quick questions. I have full confidence you're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best advice you've ever received personally or professionally?
Never quit. That's the best advice I ever received. There was many times that, especially in the van, that I wanted to just give it up. And a lot of times, you know, people give up and they give up too soon. And I see it all the time. And so the best advice I ever received was to never, ever quit. And that's what I share with anybody that I'm mentoring. Never quit. You have a goal. You may have to adjust a few things. You may have to revisit your plans. But you should never quit. If your ultimate goal is to get 300 employees, then that's what you should strive for every single day.
Man, that is absolutely just a little insight of what I do is when I'm looking to accept a client for coaching, that is probably the number one thing I look for is never quit. If I've got that, like when you said that you were like, hey, I lived in my van for 6 months and I was happy to do it, willing to do it because I was that committed to my goal. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this the guy I want to work with? So I absolutely second that, third that, couldn't agree more. Question two, what's the biggest mistake that you've made in the cleaning business we can all learn from?
Oh, like we discussed it in detail. It's just not set myself up financially in the beginning. And it wasn't as though the information wasn't out there. It's just that I was somewhat ignorant and I didn't pursue the education that I needed at the time for understanding how to set the company up financially. There were things I could have done in the beginning that would have prevented some of the things that happened over the course of 2 or 3 years.
Any that would be helpful to Cleaning Nation, like you say, oh, I could have done this in the beginning and I didn't, and maybe there's a listener right now that could use that feedback or no, or is it all pretty specific?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, sure. But one thing Pacific I could have done before I left my full-time job, I could have gotten SBA supported loan. SBA don't give a loan, but you know, through them, I could have got the education needed and got the resource to get a business loan to actually pay off my franchise, have enough income, liquid income in place to support the growth initially. When I started, I paid a down payment on my franchise, financed the rest of it, and didn't have any money to support growth. And yeah. So as I was growing, I was putting my own money in and consistently put my own money in until the point I had to get to a break-even point. And once I got there, then things turned around.
I love that. Kind of understand your cash needs and don't jump into business without having those covered. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice right away, big or small, that'll improve their life or their business?
When you can get someone to work with you or work for you, do it as fast as you can. Because you're, as a business owner, you are responsible for the growth and organization of your company. And if you're in all the accounts clean consistently, it slows you down, and you're wondering why you can't get to the next level is because you're too tired to fight for it. So I would say as soon as you possibly can, hire someone that will take care of the operations and clean so that you can focus on the business.
Man, for those of you who are longtime Cleaning Nation listeners, you're probably about this time going, that sounds vaguely familiar. Where have I heard that? Sounds really familiar, as a matter of fact. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. When you want to check out Mike's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, you know it's all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.